We live in a world, it seems like more and more, that the tide of the world is that we don't need God. I think if you look back through the biblical history and the history of man, you'll find that when people went away from God, when Israel went away from God, his people turned from him, it was an expression of theirs that we don't need God. And right now in this nation, there's a debate going on because there seems to be an elevation of bad behaviors. People willing to get assault rifles and shoot people that they don't know just to randomly kill people. Well, there's a debate about whether those weapons ought to be in our society or not. Whether taking away from people would save lives or not. Well, I'd say if I had to face somebody in the Walmart, I'd rather they had a single-shot 22 than an assault rifle. But you're not dealing with the problem if you do that. We need God. And when you take God out of things, and you take the principles and ideas of God away, and you take the idea that there's eternity away, and that you are a being that will always exist somewhere, when you take that idea away from people and that they don't have any consequences for those kind of actions, then you're probably dealing with things that you don't know how to control. And that's what we're talking about, a lot of the things that goes on in this world, how to behave. We need the Lord. Because even when I know how to behave, don't mean that I can behave the way I know. But I need the Lord to help me to be able to do what I need to be able to do. I'll acknowledge that I can even know and pursue that at times. And forget. And I'm amazed at how many times I forget. Have you ever forgot? And do something and go around and say, I forgot that. It's because of our humanity that we do that. But we need the Lord in our lives. And need the Lord to help. And I appreciate, I'll testify for myself, I really appreciate the times that the Lord kept me from going astray. Where I would have went awry had it not been for the Lord who intervened in my path and brought me to a place that I should be. And I was able to say, thank you, Lord. Without that, I would have done something totally different. But he arrested me in my course and changed my course. And I'm glad for the Lord's help in my life. I want to tell you something about help. You don't have to allow the Lord to help you in your life. Because the Lord would help everybody in their lives. And everybody doesn't get the help of the Lord. And I know for the folks that hear a lot, all the time, you've heard me tell this story probably a dozen times. It was something that was meaningful to me. I was in my yard one day. This fits this subject, so I want to tell it again. I was in the yard working one day, and I looked out across to the neighbor's place there, and the neighbor man and his young son was taking an appliance up a flight of steps that went up, and they were several rungs up the steps, and they was obviously stuck. I don't know whether it was a range or a washer or a dryer, but it was a piece of appliance, and they was stuck, and my first idea was because they didn't look like they could either go up or down, and they was kind of holding it in a precarious place. First thing I thought was I should go help them. And I intended to do that, made the first motions at that, and I felt a very strong impression, don't go, don't do it. And so I felt that was from the Lord, so I didn't go, and I just watched and went about my business, and a little bit I looked, and they were still in the same situation, and it looked like they really needed help. And so I again started to go to help them, and I felt the impression, don't do it. Don't go over there. Well, that was a strange thing to me to do, to happen, but I was watching. And just now, it was Julian Rittenhouse, okay? He comes down the road, and he looks. I seen him do a double take. He looked, and he looked again, and he bows up. He stops, right? I mean, just off the road. He's in the road, but he's got a tire off, and he stops right there. He jumps out, and he runs over there, and he bends down, and he stands back up straight, and he walks back to his truck and got in his truck and left, and it was still there in the same place. I asked him later had I saw what I thought I saw, and he said, yes. He simply said, I don't want you to help. I don't want no help. Well, I don't know whether it was to prove a point, or I ain't going to judge the motives of what was happening there. But I know that there was a couple helpers right there close, but they didn't want help. Do you know the Lord's offering us help? Oh, but we're going to have to realize that we need help first, and that help's available. We can get to the point that it's just the way it is and there's nothing you can do about it. We are our victims, if you will, or we are at least products of the environment that we was raised in, the thinking of our parents, the ideas that are around us, the cultural influences that put in us make us to be a certain things, and sometimes it's totally dysfunctional with life. You can't be what you would really want to be, or you can't be happy with that kind of thing. You can't keep a marriage. You can't keep those things are hard to do because of the structure of our lives. But the Lord comes along and says, I'll help you. I've got a help for you. I've got a change for you. I can help you do this. But you're going to have to let the strong man get a hold of it. You're going to have to, sometimes it's more than that. He simply says, I'm available. Rather than him rushing in and putting his back down and making you say, I don't want you, Jesus. Sometimes he simply just says, I'm available. You call. You call. There's a scripture in the Bible, we use it quite often, that says that if there's any sick among you, let them pray. If there's any afflicted, let them call for the elders of the church. Many times people say, well, a bad preacher, he didn't come when I was sick. It didn't say for him to. It said for you to call. And there's a reason for that. You know whether you need it or not. You know whether you're available for it. You know whether you're in the mind for it. You know whether you want that position in your life. You know where you want it. He said, let you call. And I'm only using that for this example. The Lord's available for helping us in our lives. He's available for helping, but many times He leaves that place for us to seek that help from Him. He's got the help that we need in life. I want to look at a scripture in Psalms 121, I'm sorry. I'd say Brother Mansell could probably quote this one. Psalms 121 and 1, this is quoted quite a bit, children and all. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And I wonder why the psalmist says it that way. I will look unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the one that made heaven and earth. And why is that important that it's the one that made heaven and earth? It's important because you can't have a problem that He don't know how to fix. There isn't a situation in your life that doesn't apply to the one that made it. If you have a physical problem today, you're talking to one that designed your body. If you have a mental problem today, you're talking to the one that made your mind. If you're talking about a storm, a natural storm of life, you're talking about the one that created the universe, the one that made the earth, the one that set it up for the motions of it, if whatever it might be, you're talking to the one that has that. Do you know many times we've come to the Lord for help expecting that the help would be in a certain way? Have you ever done that? Say to the Lord, I need this. And go to seek the Lord and the Lord help you, and you find out that that's not what He did to help you. You know, sometimes we'll go to the Lord expecting a situation to be changed, and instead of Him changing the situation, He changes us in the situation. The Lord knows how to help us beyond what we know how to ask for help. But we've got to seek the Lord for that help. Recognize that I'm in a place that I need help. The writer here, of course, was talking about the idea of looking towards Jerusalem. Jerusalem was built on a mountain, was up in the hills, Judea, and they were taught to, when they prayed, to look back towards where the Ark of the Covenant was, where God existed, and that, so they lifted up. So it's a figurative idea that I will lift up my eyes toward God, where He dwells, because He's going to be my helper. I want to tell you about the problems of our country. Our politicians is not going to fix them. It's not a blast at them or a shame to them. They don't know how to fix what they don't know how to fix. You can't fix some of this stuff with human effort. We need a heart change. We need people to quit feeling like that it's okay to just shoot people up or to hate people or this is the answer to problems. We have a societal problem. Well, I'm not here today to preach about that we somehow are going to change the societal problems. But the only way to change the problems is our problems. That's what this is all about. Is for me to have my problems fixed. What I have to deal with, I have to be responsible for fixing them. I know God's got grace for me to live in modern American life in 2019 with a victory in my soul. I know that I've got the capability of living a happy and a prosperous life here in this world by the help of the Lord. I have found that I don't always live as close to the Lord as I should. And it affects me every time. Every time I'm not living close to the Lord, I'm affected by my own ways. And it's the Lord that helps us. So we need the Lord. I'll look unto the helps from which cometh my... I'll look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. Okay? My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Look at another scripture in Isaiah, the 41st chapter. This is another very familiar scripture. Isaiah 41 and 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The definition of help means to aid, to assist, to lend strength to. If I come and said to you, or you ask me, said, will you help me with something? That means you're doing something. You know you have to be doing something in this. You have to have a part in this to play for God to help. You have to be on a goal or on a mission or on a way, something that needs to be done. Do you know the idea of help doesn't mean that that God does it all Himself? You know that? It means that you have a part in it. If God was just doing it, that's not helping it. That's God doing it. If you come and say, would you help me to lift this up? That means that you're lifting half of it. To get help means that you're doing something, right? I'm doing something. I have a desire or a goal or a motive that I'm trying to get to. Then I say, the Lord, help me to do it. The Lord does not change your nature in spite of you. God does not give you a victory in spite of yourself. You will not get victory in your life because God just booms it from heaven and you said, I wish I hadn't been changed. God doesn't work that way. God works when we have a desire to get somewhere and He'll help us to get there. When we have a desire to have more of God in our life, God will meet us at that request and help us to get there. And you know, God's got the great arsenal of the universe. He can use anything. He's got insects and He's got storms and He's got diseases and everything subject to Him. He can use whatever He wants to touch our lives to get us to the place that we can be helped because He's wanting to help us. So be not dismayed. Don't be overwhelmed. How can you not make it if I will help you? I will help you through these things that are in your life. All right, fear not. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and thou shalt not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. I'll be there for you. I will help you. When you look and it looks like the whole world's falling down around you, take courage. I will help thee. You cannot be destroyed if the Lord is helping. And I thought of a scripture. Do you remember the scripture of Hezekiah, King Hezekiah? And the great Assyrian army at that time was much more powerful than Israel was. And they had come out of Assyria and they started conquering the lands around them. One city, one nation after another, one place after another. They was indomitable. They was unstoppable. They was conquering the whole world around them. And they come up. And now they come up and it's Israel's turn. It's Hezekiah's turn. And they come up there. And you remember what they said? Your God can't stop us. Other people said their God would stop us. Their gods couldn't stop us. Your God can't stop us either. So we're going to come and get you. Just won't give up without a fight. Look at what's happened around. And you'll remember after all the Kadu, there was a letter sent from Sennacherib. He brought the letter and it comes to Hezekiah basically saying that those words. And Hezekiah needs help. Lord, help us to recognize. In our world today, people are so proud. We're so scientifically advanced. We're so capable. We're so able. We can do so much without any divine intervention. We don't need help to grow crops. That's a lie. But we don't need help because we understand agriculture now. We understand the way things work. We don't need any help. We need help. We need help. We're not too advanced. We're on a world wide web of understandings. You know, after wrestling around with a project that I've been trying to do to just get four-wheel drive back in my truck, I've resorted to having to pray about it. Now, that's an awful thing to have to say, that you resort to something. But I resort down that I thought it could be fixed. And I took it here, took it there. I know there's a fix to it. But you know what? I start praying about it. Lord, I have to help me. Help me to know what to do. I mean, I know it can be fixed from a financial standpoint, but I don't know how much I got to put into this. I've already put too much in it, and then it's going to be fixed. And so I start saying, Lord, help me to know what to do. I'm at a wit's end with all that. Well, they send the letter and Hezekiah's there and he said, "Of a truth, Lord, they've conquered all the lands and no one's been able to stop them. It's true. But Lord, it's against your people. Here, read the letter." He lays the letter out on the altar and it prays, "Lord, there it is. And the Lord had said, I will help thee. I will help thee in this matter. Yeah, they're bigger than you. They got a bigger army. They're not bigger than us together. I'll join up with you. You done the right thing. You came to the Lord. There's help for this. It looks like the devil's going to destroy you. The devil's not going to destroy you if you let the Lord help you. You're stuck. You're stuck sometimes on the step with something you can't move up or down. But the Lord says, I'll send a strong man by. He'll put his back. If you'll let him, Jesus was the strong man that came by. He can put a back to your load and move it up the stairs for you. He can put it in place till it's workable again. But it's the Lord that we need to help us, because if we don't, well, we can struggle with this. We can scar the stairs up. We can get it. We can bang it. We can do that. We can feel all good because we accomplished something at the end of it. But at the end of it, we haven't accomplished anything. Because the Lord wants to do something for us that we can't really do for ourselves. You remember the story of what happened with the Assyrian army. They thought they was in control of the world. And that they surely was bigger than these little nations that they could overcome. But the Lord destroyed them. And Hezekiah never lifted a sword against them. Never had to do anything. For the Lord was his helper. And he took care of those problems. And over and over. And Lord, help us to remember the lessons of our life. How many times through just giving it to the Lord has the Lord answered for us? And got us to those kind of places. And one scripture says, and if you lack any other, be any other wise minded, in Philippians 3, I think it is, that I will reveal even this unto thee. What do you lack? I'll bring it to you. I'll bring it to you thinking, I'm not interested that you perish. I want to help you. But help means that you're running the race and I'm helping you. If you don't run the race, I'm not running it for you. You run the race. You lift the load and I'll be there to put my shoulder to it. You step in there in a prayerful way and I'll send your prayers up with you. You ever feel like you can't pray? You ever feel like you needed more? And the Lord come and boosted it? You ever been in a place that you didn't know what you'd do, but the Lord come by and you knew there was a difference? I'll help you do it. I'll help you run this race and do those kind of things. I want to think of another scripture too. I'll probably just mention some of it too, but it's in Esther. It's the story of Esther. You remember the story of Esther and how Mordecai had come to the place. Esther was a Jewish girl, and if you remember the story, she was chosen over a whole host of young women, and Esther was beautiful. And because of her beauty and her radiance and God being with her, the king chose her and she was queen. So it was Queen Esther. Do you know that God did that? God in his great wisdom chose Esther and put her in a position. And if you remember the story of this, there was an evil man named Haman who was out to get the Jews, and he didn't like Mordecai because Mordecai wouldn't bow to him. He wouldn't acknowledge anybody but God as his God. And he wouldn't pay homage to Haman. Haman was upset about it. That was uncle or relative to Esther. And you know something that was really fascinating about this, because this story, because the Lord is our helper. God is our helper. And Mordecai goes to Esther after Haman got the king to make a decree. He didn't know Esther was a Jew. And he went and made a decree that the Jews would be destroyed on a certain day, that the people were to destroy all the Jews. It was free season on the Jews. And they made a decree. When if you make a decree and just change it, it ain't much of a decree. So it was the law of their land was is you couldn't change it once it was made. And so the law was made that on this certain day the Jews would be destroyed. And so Mordecai says to Esther, maybe, perchance, maybe it's true that you were born for this day, that you were placed here, you were made beautiful for this day, you were put in as queen for this day, for this time, that you can make a difference. He said this to her though. You are made to be the deliverer. But if you don't do it, God will save His people. That God is not going to let His people be destroyed. But He made you to be this year for this day. And Esther said to Mordecai, okay, you do this. You call a fast. Why? I need the Lord. Esther says, it wasn't found that way in these words. I'm saying by implication. She said, you all, okay, I'm put on the spot, but I'm going to put you on with me. You all put away everything aside and you fast for the next 3 days because I'm going to have to enter that in before that king and I'm going to have to enter and if he holds out the golden scepter, he accepts me and if he don't, I die from approaching him. So this is a serious matter and I need the Lord to know what to do, when to do it, how to do it. You all fast and pray. I need the Lord to help me. Do you know, we probably would do a whole lot better off if we had the attitude of fasting and praying. We show God how intent we are on His help, how lacking we are without His help. What are you going to be like this week if the Lord don't help you? What are you going to be like at the end of the week if the Lord don't help you? Lord, help us. We need the Lord to help. And in this situation, the Lord helped and brought this thing, and you can read the story over there in Esther, about how God began to work in that and change, and He didn't change the decree, but what ended up happening was that evil Haman that had everything and he thought it was just right. And this Mordecai was going to be hung on the gallows that he made and he was puffed up in himself and he didn't need God. Haman didn't need God. Haman was a mighty, oh, he was such a man, wasn't he? He didn't need God. He was doing it all for himself and he was going to destroy Mordecai and the Jews and he was going to be happy and contented as being the big man that he was. The only thing was the tide started turning. Our nation needs the Lord, folks. And one of the things about the nation in the world right now, it's going the way it is because we're going away from the true God. We're going away from the principles of God. It starts in a little bit. Lord, help us. You can't get by with this. For whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he also reap. You can't sow corruption without reaping corruption. You sow the wind, the scripture says. You'll reap the whirlwind. It comes just like planting. You plant one grain of corn, it comes up in a stalk, it has a couple of ears on it, there's hundreds of kernels, you planted one. You sow the wind, you get the whirlwind. You sow deception, you get a great deception. You sow corruption, it'll be everywhere. It's because it's magnified and in this world. Folks, we can't get by in this nation or any nation, any place, you can't get by with sowing what we've been sowing. And think that, as the old saying is, that the chickens are not going to come home to roost. Because when you start putting in people's minds that there is no God, there is no gender, there is no heaven or hell, there is no sanctity of life, life is worthless, it's meaningless, and you die like a dog without a soul. When you start putting that stuff in there, you're going to reap it full fall. And when you start, it's just true, when you numb yourself to the God's virtues, God's creation of life and how special He made it. Listen, these little babies that's been aborted. Listen, there ain't a one of us that shouldn't feel this because every one of us was an embryo. You was too. Okay? And the idea of life. And the idea that they had this event to where they, I think it was in New York, where they had this event that they passed a law that they could abort up to 9 months. And people stand up and cheer. They cheer at that. Others have went so far to say, well, what happens if in the process of aborting, they're accidentally born and they're alive born? What are we going to do with them now? Well, that's up to the doctor and the mother to say, without sanctity, like, I'm just saying this in our world. We need God. And we need the principles of God. We don't realize what is going to happen down the road from the ideas that we get about life. And we need the Lord. I use it in a general sense to get us, help us to understand in a specific sense. If it's true generally, it has to be true in an individual life. And so in our individual lives, it ain't going to affect everybody out there to shoot people up. But you can't sit on a video playing device or a thing and play these horrific, gory games without affecting your spirit. You can't listen to the crud of this world that's glorifying every kind of despicable life and expect it not to affect your life. You can't do it. It's not within us to do it. You can't do it. It'll affect your life some way or another. You may not even ever know how it affects your life. It affects your life till you can't be what you should be. And so you can't do those things. And how do I know what I should and shouldn't do? I need the Lord to help guide me through life. He'll give me the word sometimes and I don't know how to apply it. Lord, how do you apply your word to this world that we live in? Do I not entertain myself? That's not the answer. But I should be ashamed of ungodly things. I should keep those things out of my life because they'll affect the way I perceive things. And all of a sudden, I've got a contemptible idea towards people. I don't have a generous idea towards people. And I wonder how I got there. Well, maybe you've been blowing too many of them up all night, staying up, playing a game, shooting people. And maybe you've been listening to much thumping, thumping, thumping in your brain. You can't say there's scientific evidence that proven that it's effectual. They know that. And I'm saying this, we really need God to help us. And His help is like, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I am available, but the coming I don't do. I stand with my arms outstretched, say, come unto me, but you've got to come. You come needing help, I will help you. You're in dismay, I will help you. You've got problems in your life, I will help you. I will give you what you need. I will bless you and help you in all these places. I won't come. I won't do that. But I'll leave it to you to be able to come. Thank God that He did. I think Brother Mansell used to say, you know, I ain't heard him say it for a while, but he used to say that we needn't live on short rations. And that's true. We needn't live on short rations. God's got plenty of help for you and I. There's another scripture. Isaiah 30. And one says, woe to this rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. They that they may add sin to sin. Woe to rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. again, the Lord has the true counsel. And you know why people don't want that counsel? Because it'll cut you right across the flesh. The Lord's counsel will cut you right to the flesh. The Lord's counsel won't him all around about it, won't give room for it, won't make no through it. Yeah, it's okay, you can do this, you can do that, won't do it. It'll give you a true counsel to get you to a true place. And this rebellion, woe is an awful pronouncement on a people, a woe. Bad things is coming behind the woe because you haven't sought the counsel. And it's in a mechanical sense and a natural sense as much as it is a spiritual sense that if you don't have the right direction, you're not going the right way. You're going to be going the wrong way and the wrong things are happening in your life when you don't. And when you have the right counsel and you have the right direction, then you'll end up in the right place. And this is what this is talking about. The Lord wants us to end up in the right place, and you take counsel and you go along, and the Lord, and so here's a scenario specifically in Isaiah. The children of Israel would do things like this, if not specifically here. They would do things like this. There would be an enemy that they had to fight or come up against, and instead of going and asking the counsel of the Lord, Lord, should we attack them? Lord, should we stand our ground here? Lord, what should we do? They would go to Egypt and they'd make an allegiance with Egypt. Now, when you go to Egypt and make an alliance with them, it's going to cost you something. They're not going to go fight your battles for you unless you pay them something. So they'll say to you, yeah, you give us your sons and daughters. You give us your daughters and you give us some power and we'll make an allegiance with you and we'll be all happy together. It's only one thing is you worship our idols and we'll come fight for you. It costs you more than you can pay. And the Lord's upset about it, said, because why didn't you come and take counsel of me? I know why, because you want that land, and I'd tell you it ain't yours. I'd tell you to leave it alone. It don't belong to you. You can't have it. Well, I ain't what I want to hear. I don't want to hear that I have to behave myself. I don't want to hear that I have to do those kind of things or give up this or something that I've got in my habits of life. I want to hear that. But the habits of life is going to destroy you, and the Lord wants to give you help from them. Take it from him. So the Lord help us today. You seek counsel, but not by me. Over in, let's see, Acts 26. I like the way the Apostle Paul says this. I'll go back to 19. It says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. What did you do? I mean, you know, we don't suffer a lot of persecution now in our day and time. What would you do? Paul was making a disruption when he was preaching the gospel, and so they caught him and they was wanting to kill him. Paul's idea was he needed the Lord. Lord, you sent me on this. Help me. It says here, having therefore obtained help of God. You know, Paul couldn't have done that by himself. You know, Paul may have had the biggest desire to run. You ever feel like running from a problem? You ever feel like just cutting out? I ain't willing to fight this. I just want to get out of here. He may have felt like just leaving the whole place. Just going to go out of here and run. But he obtained help from the Lord. God helped him. To keep him right there in that battle until he got the victory, right there was what he was supposed to do. He said, I obtained help. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day. Listen, Because of the help of the Lord, I continued unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than that those which the prophet and Moses did say should come. He was up against a big chore, something that was bigger than him. He probably felt stifled and stopped at their desire to kill him. Hey, wouldn't we all want him to be patted on the back and said, I believe it, and ain't never heard preaching like that. You're a fantastic preacher. That's so compelling, the inspirational, that I'm a Christian now. Well, yeah, but it don't work that way. Instead of saying that, they wanted to kill him. Now, you pat me on the back, I want to stick around. You want to kill me, I want to run. But the Lord came and helped him. He gave him strength to stay there when they wanted to kill him, witnessing to both good. And you know what happens most of the time in the work of God? You have the roaring, the raging around, and in the middle of it, there's a soul, and there's a soul, and there's a soul. And they watch the tempest, and they see the situation, and God deals with their heart, and right in the middle of the tempest, salvation's brought to souls. And that's what Paul was able to do because the Lord helped him. You know, it's in the storm of life that God will bring us our greatest joys. He'll bring us our greatest victories. But in the middle of those things, when we want to run, we need God to help us. I am what I am. And the only thing that makes me anything else is the grace of God. Without God's help, folks, we can puff ourselves up, religious can puff ourselves up, TV evangelists and people of the world puff themselves up by the duties and things that they do. But ain't nobody can claim anything that they've got actually unless the Lord helped them. The Lord's what brings us our victories. And in closing, Hebrews 4, familiar scripture. So let us therefore come boldly. Now I've expressed this scripture many times, but that's a good invitation. Let us come boldly. And don't confuse the idea of boldness being opposite of humility, because it's not. Boldness would be opposite of timidity, being timid. The opposite of humility is pride. You can be humble and bold. And this scripture says to come boldly to the throne of grace. And this idea of coming boldly to the throne of grace applies to every child of God. It applies to everybody that's not a child of God. It's everybody that comes to the understanding that you're going there because of Jesus being accepted of God. Jesus paid, as the high priest, he paid the price that you and I can go boldly with confidence to the throne of grace. To do what? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There is grace to help in time of need. Help is the assistant factor. It's not all of it. You have to be doing something to get that with. And when you say, Lord, I'm desperate to love this enemy, I don't have the love that I need, there is grace to help. There is a power that don't belong to us that assists us in becoming what we're supposed to be. This will never work by ourselves. You'll never accomplish it. It's because of the Lord. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.